is the Dignity, and it's a 60-foot motor yacht, and it was loaded with 3 tons of humanitarian supplies. There were 16 of us on board, and they were crew members, two groups of journalists, small groups, about 4 of us in total, Al Jazeera and CNN, and the rest were surgeons, doctors. There was Cynthia McKinney, a former US congresswoman, and a member of the Cypriot Parliament. But I want to take you on board now and explain to you a little bit of how everything went down. We set sail out of Cyprus about 7 o'clock local time. It was already very dark by then. The rain was lashing down. And almost as soon as we got out into the open Mediterranean, the waves were very high, very heavy. And probably half of us, myself included, spent a lot of time in this area here and also out on the back deck there vomiting. The seasickness was so bad. Things went on without too much incident. After all, we were in international waters for the bulk of this trip, and we thought that for the first 12, 15 hours of the journey, we would remain in international waters, as was the case. And then at about 5 o'clock local time, it was about 3 hours till dawn still, I'd managed to recover a little bit and was sitting in this point here to get some fresh air. For about the previous half an hour, two Israeli patrol boats had been dancing around this vessel. They appeared, first of all, one with a full spotlight beam on at the rear, and then they moved to each side, to the front, to the back. But there was no radio communication. I'd been talking to the captain and said, are they saying anything? And he says, absolutely not. There's no radio communication. So the Dignity continued on its course about 12 knots amid these high seas toward Gaza. And then as I just come back up here to try and say something else to the captain, then bang, you hear this big bang. And out of nowhere, one of those Israeli patrol boats with no lights on had moved to the front here, to the front left side hand of the boat, and just rammed it. And as it rammed it, then the windows around the wheelhouse shattered. Part of the roof peeled off. And the captain remained at his post. But you hear a bang like that, and you start to see fresh air and waves coming in the gap there. And obviously, I moved towards the back, still feeling very seasick, but saying, hey, where's the camera? And so I moved right into the back here to try and find the camera. And at that point, one of the crew members comes through. She comes through very fast. She was a crew member, but also a member of the Free Gaza movement, and issues us with life jackets. She says, okay, life jackets on. We're going to take to the life raft. So these were the life jackets. And so in the dark, the pitch black and the panic of, you know, what's happened, we're putting these on. We were seconds away from launching those life rafts. And what the crew member would have had to have done, a female, would have had to have scrambled up here amid those high seas. Here are the life rafts. She's been trained, and her orders from the captain at that moment were to launch these, to get these out of their boxes, toss them over the side. And the worst bit came next, because her second order was then to toss us, the passengers, into those life rafts. We're not trained to get into life rafts. She's trained to do this, and her orders were to toss us in. But then moments before that was carried out, the captain then told her, no, I've fixed the problem. I've been down below decks. And the captain managed to get the bilge pumps working and started to pump some of that water out of the hull. And he says that's what stopped the ship coming going down. He says if the Israeli ship had rammed from a slightly different angle, if the boat had been made from slightly different material, it's got a partly wooden structure, then this boat could have gone down in seconds. And you can only imagine the consequences. Once a boat goes down in pretty icy seas, in very rough seas, you know, the odds are off as to how exactly are we going to get out from inside. Round here at the front, you can see a little bit more of the damage. And it's round at this side. It's round at this side. And this is actually the first time that I'm seeing this kind of damage too, because I got off the boat here entire. But just take a look at that. It was very heavy seas. Right now, that hole is a few feet above the waterline. But in heavy seas, that's why the water was coming on. There's a gaping hole in the side there. The front end is all stoved in. It's not surprising it was taking on water. Even when the captain said that we wouldn't have to abandon ship, then waves were crashing in, and they were crashing into the wheelhouse. I don't know how he did it, to be honest. I don't know how he did it. And as you can see, sitting in the dark in that cabin, and the order comes through, we're moments away from taking to the life rafts. You think, well, you know, if we've got to do it, we've got to do it. But it certainly wasn't one of the options that we really thought about before, especially not because the incident took place in international waters. Now, what the Israeli Defense Forces have now said is that this was an accident. I put that to the captain, and he says, come off it. He says, the boat was lit up like a Christmas tree. He says, one of the Israeli patrol boats was constantly focusing on the Dignity with searchlights. And he said that the other one came out of nowhere. These Israeli patrol boats are sophisticated. They move fast. They're highly maneuverable. They've been maneuvering around the Dignity for half an hour. Why suddenly do they crash into the boat unless it was on purpose?